Welcome back to Never Found, Never Forgotten. I am your host, Melanie, and this week we have another super great case for you, and so we're just going to dive right in. This is the disappearance of 26-year-old Brandon Lawson. Brandon went missing on August 8th, 2013, from the San Angelo, Texas area. And what we know about Brandon is he's a hard worker. He works in the oil fields. And I know, you know, where I'm from, like that's a big industry for some of our young men. It's very hard, very physically demanding, long hours, time away from home. And it can be really dangerous too. So, but Brandon is working there in the oil fields to support his four children. And by all accounts, he's a good father and a good provider. And so on the night of August 8th, 2013, Brandon leaves his home in San Angelo, Texas after an argument with his long-term girlfriend, LaDessa Lofton. And this relationship with LaDessa is not like a temporary thing. They've been together for over 10 years. Very long term. They have three children together. And then Brandon has another daughter from a previous relationship. So they get into an argument, and at about 11:45 p.m., he leaves the house. He needs to blow off some steam, just get away from the situation, sort of de-escalate that. And he's heading to his parents' home in Crowley, Texas. And from what I can find on Google, this looks to be about a 3-hour drive. And I know that sounds like more than blowing off steam, you know, that you're going to take this 3-hour trip to just, you know, take a break. But I also understand the need to be with loved ones who understand you, who know you. So Brandon is headed to his parents' house. And apparently the argument that LaDessa and Brandon had was because that Brandon didn't come home the night before. And Brandon has a history of drug use. And so LaDessa is like, you know, you can't just not come home. We have these three children together. We also have your other daughter. And she was just rightfully angry that he hadn't come home. You know, she was probably filled with worry. And so they argue and he leaves. At about 11:30 that night, he had called his dad to tell him that he was on his way. So at 12:30 a.m., Brandon calls his brother Kyle and he says that he has run out of gas. He also says something in this phone call about Mexicans chasing him. And so his brother, knowing, you know, that Brandon has a history of drug use, is like, you know, are you hallucinating? And Brandon insists that he's fine and just asks him to bring some gas for him. So Kyle heads over to Brandon's house, the house that he shares with LaDessa. And Kyle takes with him his own wife, as well as their 4-year-old son. And they're going over there to retrieve a gas can. And during this time, Brandon and Kyle keep calling each other, but Kyle says it's really odd because Brandon would just say like one or two sentences before hanging up. And Brandon told Kyle at one point, like he was running through a field and bleeding. So Kyle assumed that he had fallen down and like maybe gotten scraped, but he didn't really think too much of it. He was like, well, this is, you know, it's weird. It's weird, but you know, we're going to be right there. At 12:50 a.m., Brandon places a call to 911, and I urge you to go online. There's actually, the recording is online. I listened to it on YouTube, and it's very it's hard to hear. It's very unclear. But one thing that is very clear is that Brandon is frantic. And he tells the dispatcher very quickly that he ran out of gas, he was in the middle of the field, and he needed help. And he urges the dispatcher to please hurry. And the dispatcher at first is really confused. Like, she can't understand, like, where he is and what exactly he needs. And Brandon says something like, I ran into them. So she thinks that there's been an accident. And she asks Brandon if he needs an ambulance. And he says, no, I need the cops. And the phone call is so unclear. But some people claim that you can hear voices talking to Brandon in the background at one point saying, like, get up or protect yourself. And they also claim that you can hear gunshots, though other people claim that those gunshots are actually other vehicles driving over this bridge that was nearby. So I listened to the call. I didn't think it sounded like gunshots, but at the end of the call, it seems that Brandon whispers, help me. And then he just stops speaking. And the dispatcher tries to reach him. You know, she's, you know, calling out for him a few times, and there's nothing. So the call is disconnected. What's interesting is around the same time, so between 12:51 and 1:15, there are several calls to and from Brandon's phone. And I need to explain this area a little bit. There's not cell reception. There's not very good cell reception. So it's really spotty. And so most of these calls do not connect. But there are several back and forth. And it's going to be really confusing. But I think it's important that I tell you the timeline only because it might lend something to this case. So stick with me and we'll get into this timeline a little bit. This area that Brandon's truck is in is very secluded, very rural road. There's nothing nearby. There are a few camps, you know, seasonal camps in the area, but it's kind of like, this is Texas. It's kind of an arid, deserty, scrubby brush area. So there's not a whole lot of vegetation, but what there is not, you know, it's not super lush and vibrant. And that's going to play a role in a little bit. So he's in this really secluded area. He's not getting very good cell reception. And at 12:51, Kyle called Brandon and left a voicemail. At the same time, Brandon called LaDessa, and there was no answer. And so after this argument with Brandon, LaDessa says that her charger to her phone is in her car, so she doesn't have her phone with her, and so she doesn't receive any of these calls that Brandon places to her. And she eventually, you know, she says later on, you know, how guilty she feels about this because she didn't have her phone with her. And, you know, it's not, you know, usually we always have our phones with us and stuff. And what if she had just had it? But she doesn't. And so Brandon tries to call her. There's no answer. 1 minute later at 12:52 a.m., Kyle's wife called Brandon's phone twice, you know, maybe thinking maybe he'll answer her number. Nothing. At 12:54 a.m., Kyle called Brandon again. Didn't get connected. 12:57 a.m., Brandon calls his neighbor. And at 12:58, Brandon called Kyle twice. The neighbor also is trying to call Brandon. He tries to call Brandon three times in that same time frame. At 12:59 a.m., Kyle called Brandon again. At 1:04 a.m., the 911 dispatcher is trying to get more information about where Brandon is. And so she calls his phone back. She leaves a voicemail and then immediately tries to call back again and doesn't get him. At 1:09 a.m., Brandon called Kyle three times. At 1:12 a.m., Kyle tried to call Brandon 3 times. At 1:15, Brandon called Kyle twice. And these are the last phone calls that are made or received to Brandon's phone. At 1:19 a.m., all calls to Brandon's phone start going straight to voicemail, which means his phone is off or has died. And so I went through this whole timeline because this is really sort of important to me. Like, it seems like he was trying desperately to get in touch with his friends and loved ones. He's reaching out to his neighbor, his girlfriend, his brother. He's calling these people several times. They're frantically trying to get in touch with him. They don't understand. And I just have to wonder, like, what would have happened if one of these calls had connected? Like, if one of them were able to speak to him in that moment. Unfortunately, none of those calls connected. And that's just, it's chilling to me. And so a truck driver also calls 911 around the same time to report Brandon's truck is a disabled vehicle, and it's partially obstructing traffic as it's over the white line. It was parked very haphazardly, and it does show that the gas tank is empty. So Kyle and a sheriff's deputy arrive on the scene about the same time at around 1 a.m., and there's no sign of Brandon at all. One of the calls that did connect to Brandon's phone from his brother, Brandon reportedly told Kyle, "I can see you. I am right here." And so Kyle thinks, okay, Brandon actually had a warrant out for his arrest in relation to a felony drug charge for possession with intent to distribute. And so Kyle's thinking, okay, maybe he just doesn't want the sheriff to see him. It's no big deal. And the police, there's not really much they can do at this point. And so Kyle drives up the road a little bit to see if maybe Brandon would come out of hiding if he was not near the police. And Kyle waits about 30 to 45 minutes, and there's no sign of Brandon. And remember, Kyle has his 4-year-old son and his wife with him. It's the middle of the night. This little boy gets antsy, you know, as most 4-year-olds would. And Kyle decides to leave to go get some food. He comes back around 5 a.m., and he actually gets out of his vehicle. He's yelling for Brandon, and there's still no sign of him. And so the next morning, the searches begin. And police decide that they want to check some of these seasonal camps that are in the area, thinking that if Brandon was lost in this brush and desert area, that he might have gone to one of these camps for water. And it's not uncommon that break-ins occur at these seasonal camps because of people who get lost while they're out hiking or camping, and they break in to get out of the elements and for water. But unfortunately, none of the camps look disturbed, and there's still no sign of Brandon. They eventually use helicopters with thermal imaging to detect body heat, and that also turns up nothing. And this is where the terrain kind of matters, is it was very dry and desolate, and the area had recently undergone a drought. So there wasn't a whole lot of vegetation that would obscure a person out there. They were able to see the landscape fairly clearly. And they did find this one tree that was in eyesight of where Brandon's truck was, that looked like somebody had sat under there for a period of time. Like, the grass was all like flattened down. Police kind of chalk this whole disappearance up to this felony warrant. And they think he's either lost out there in this brush, or he's just hiding because, you know, they think he has this warrant out for arrest. He hitched a ride and just walked away from his life. And they point out to evidence. They point to evidence that they claim Brandon had recently tried to cash out his 401k from work. However, everything that I've read said that this was never confirmed. Like, his supervisor at work said they could find no record of this. If he talked to someone about cashing it out, it doesn't appear that he received money. And his family also disagrees, you know, with the police's theory that he would just walk away. His long-term girlfriend, Ledessa, said that their relationship was experiencing stressors, and they did argue, but overall they were happy and very much in love. But like all young people or couples, you know, they have daily stresses. Brandon was working over 60 hours a week, and they have 3 kids together, which is already super stressful. And one of these children is an infant. And so these are very stressful things. And Ledessa has said that she regrets that her last words were an argument to Brandon. And what's even more heartbreaking is these children that Brandon leaves behind. And Ledessa said, "It hurts me that I can't find them for him. I can't find him for them. As a mother, you don't ever want your children to go through pain." And she just doesn't believe that Brandon would walk away from his life. And he loved his children too much. A coworker of Brandon's made that same sort of statement, that he was always talking about his kids. You know, he was super invested father. He wouldn't just walk away. And Brandon's father, Brad, also doesn't believe that Brandon would walk away from his life. He insists that the warrant wasn't that big of a deal. Brandon had previously done time in state prison. And so Brandon was like, or so Brad insists that Brandon wasn't afraid to take his punishment. And Brad also points out, you know, like the police knew where he was. They knew he was in the area. So they hadn't served that warrant yet. You know, why would it all of a sudden be a catalyst for his disappearance? It just doesn't make sense. And Brad also says that Brandon was actually going to start a new job that next week that had more money and better benefits. And Kyle, Brandon's brother, points out that it's strange that a grown man, would disappear and there would be no evidence. You know, if he did meet with foul play, there's no evidence of that. There's no clothing, there's no keys, there's no wallet. Nothing has ever been found. And I think that while his family insists that he wouldn't walk away from his life, they have little hope that Brandon is actually alive. And so the main theories in this case are that this felony warrant and the relationship struggles with Ledessa caused Brandon to leave and start a new life somewhere. That because of the 911 call where he asked for police and someone was chasing him, that he met with foul play. Or because of his drug use and the terrain, he may have succumbed to the elements and his body just hasn't been found yet. And Ledessa, of course, is struggling with guilt in the aftermath of Brandon's disappearance, and that her last words to Brandon were in anger. And she said, quote, "You don't think someone is just going to go missing, or you're never going to see that person again." And I think this is something that we can all relate to. You know, we're never guaranteed tomorrow. And so anyone with information on the disappearance of Brandon Lawson is urged to call the Coke County Sheriff's Office at 325-453-2717. And that's my case for this week. You can join our Facebook group at Never Found, Never Forgotten. We do post images of the missing there, and some other discussion-y things. And then we, you can follow us at Twitter at @podnever. And so that is our episode for this week. Please tune in for our next week. All right. Bye.